You're on Air with Douglas, where fans are connected to their favorite celebrities. And now, here's your host, Douglas.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to June. It is now June. It's our first show of the month. It's also the first show of the new revamped platform that I'm going to be using to take everybody into a more empowering way of doing my show. For fans of the show, have been used to a lot of the celebrity interviews and, from musicians and singers and actors and stuff. But as I said before, our new mission statement is that On Air with Douglas strives to create empowerment to our listeners, wake people up and keep them awake, help become better versions of who we already are, and bring the listeners the latest in conversations with people we love. We are here to entertain, empower, educate, embrace ourselves and each other. So thank you so much for everybody that's tuning in tonight. This is a very important show for me. I've been waiting for a long time to get this set up because I myself live with a lot of illnesses, as many of you know. I live with fibromyalgia, rheumatoid arthritis, osteoporosis, and diabetes. And I came across tonight's guest a few years ago. He has a book out called From Fatigue to Fantastic, and I picked that up to see what I can learn from it. And he has a brand new book that we'll be talking about as well. So we're going to cover all kinds of stuff between now and the end of the hour. So welcome, Dr. Teitelbaum, to the show. Hello.
Douglas, great to be with you.
Thank you so much. And for listeners, if you have questions for Dr. T, as he goes by, call in and get in the queue now at 347-215-9503. Be sure to press 1, so that way it alerts me that we have a caller to get to. We have a lot to cover in this time tonight, so sit back, relax, take notes, and write down the different informations, links and different social media things that we discuss as well. So, doctor, how did you get involved with fibromyalgia, for example?
Well, Doug, I got into it the old-fashioned way. I had it. In medical school going through, and medical school was the easiest part. I was paying my own way, and my dad was dead. And I, as many people are with this disease, I tend to be pretty empathic. And when my family was going through an emotional breakdown, I tried to be the peacemaker and a bunch of psychotic people. And that set me up for getting, once I got the drop-dead flu, I got this nasty viral infection and I couldn't get out of bed. Left me, not only did I have to drop out of medical school, but because I was paying my own way, that left me homeless, sleeping in parks. And the way I learned how to get well, it's as if the universe put a holistic medical school sign on my park bench. Healers who come by, physicians who come by, naturopaths who come by, herbalists. And each of them taught me bits and pieces of what I needed to do to get well. And I was able to go to med school and do great.
Okay. Are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I just want to make sure we didn't drop. As I read through your website, which everybody, if you would like to write down his website, it's endfatigue.com. And that will get you all the information that you need. You've written a lot of books, and there are different types of books. You've done, like I said, From Fatigue to Fantastic, which I picked up. You've done Pain Free 1-2-3, Beat Sugar Addiction Now, Real Cause, Real Cure, and your upcoming book is The Fatigue and Fibromyalgia Solution. We'll touch a little bit on all of that. But what's the new book that's coming out this fall going to be gearing towards?
Well, it's a primer on how to optimize energy for anybody who's tired and wants more energy, but also those with chronic fatigue syndrome or fibromyalgia. It's a made easy book. Fatigue Fantastic is like a textbook. I mean, it's a lot of information. It's really good, but it's pretty dense. Where the new book is going to be a light and easy read. And by the time somebody's done reading the book, they will have their treatment protocol all laid out for them. And it's just simple. I mean, people with fibro often have brain fog, and they want the information, but it needs to be done and given in a way that is easy to understand a lot of times.
Yeah. Yeah, when I picked up From Fatigue to Fantastic a couple years ago, it's like a textbook, and because of us that have fibro, we deal with something called brain fog, and I'll ask you about that in a minute. And it was really hard for me to understand a lot of the stuff in it, so now I'm really excited about this upcoming books because I felt that, I can't remember what I read, the memory is really bad, some of the technical terms were just over my head and stuff, so I thought, gosh, so I'm really excited to know that there's a new book coming out as well. But I did go through, and I didn't read the book from front to back because of my memory so bad, but I did go through and find all the sections that I wanted to, the questions and the answers that I wanted to address. So it is really a great addition.
And the thing, too, Doug, is that it's funny because I've been trying to get Penguin to let us do the Made Easy form of the book for over a decade now. And they said, no, this is the number one best-selling book ever in history on chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, and we're not changing it. You know, I update it every couple of years. So we did, on my Facebook page, we did a survey, how many people wanted the next edition of the book to be the same thing but just updated versus short and simple. And 85 out of the 86 people who responded said, please, short and simple. So I sent that to Penguin, and they said, okay. That's what it took.
Yeah.
So.
That is great. So are you still, is there a cure? Can a person overcome this, or is it for life?
They can't overcome it. And just like with diabetes, for example, is there a cure? Well, some people need to lose 40 pounds, get some exercise and sunshine, and cut out the sugar, and their diabetes goes away. Is that a cure?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they put the 30 pounds back on and go back to taking all the sugar and the rest, the diabetes will come back. Fibromyalgia is an energy crisis where people have blown a fuse. And basically, I know in my case and many other people's cases, they can go back to feeling even better than they did before the illness. They can be much healthier.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, well, doc, I feel great, but can I be guaranteed that it's never going to come back? And I say, absolutely not. If you go back to doing what made you sick in the first place, it will come back, and it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a very, very, very treatable disease. Our research study, there was a double-blind study, showed that 91% of people improve with an average 90% increase in quality of life. So this is very, very treatable.
Now, just to share my story, I got ill, or I started feeling different about in 2006. And the one thing with invisible diseases, and that's what I consider this, and a lot of the diseases that I've got are invisible ones. People can't tell that you're sick. And it's tough when you're going to the doctors. And everybody I've talked to that has tried to get their doctors to, find out if they have fibromyalgia, it's like a myth. It's like a catch-all. It's like we don't know what's wrong with you, so you have fibro. Why is fibro so hard to diagnose? And also, why is the medical profession still so against this disease?
Because there's no test for it. And the same thing happened when multiple sclerosis first started making the rounds. For decades, it was called hysterical paralysis. Same thing with rheumatoid arthritis. Until we had the latex fixation test or rheumatoid factor, doctors would tell these women and men with, horrible deformed joints and big red swollen knots, and they say, well, tests are normal. You're crazy. Nothing wrong with you. And then they found the test, and suddenly, they went from being crazy to having MS, having lupus, having rheumatoid arthritis. And fibromyalgia is going through the same thing right now. And it's sad. I mean, when doctors say, I don't know what's wrong with you, so you're crazy, that's abusive. That's totally unacceptable. For them to say, I don't know what's wrong with you, I'm sorry, that's honest. But this nonsense, I don't know what's wrong with you, you're crazy, when you go to a doctor that does it, here's what I want the listeners to do. Take the doctor by the hand, shake his hand, give him a big hug, and say, thank you, doc, for letting me know up front that you're such an idiot so I don't waste my time, and just walk out the door. Seriously. You don't need to waste your time with doctors to do that.
Yeah, I was on Medicaid at the time, and my doctors were sending me for all these different tests. They thought I had multiple sclerosis, so I had a spinal tap. They thought I had cancer, so they took me to the cancer specialist. I think they kind of took advantage of the fact that I had Medicaid and just wanted to just run every test possible. And then I finally got to a rheumatologist who did the 18-point test, I think it is, which kind of confused me. You press on these certain areas, and you got fibromyalgia. So is that the only way to really tell if somebody has it? What if they're just sore? How can you really know?
Well, they've actually starting to phase out the tender point exam because most doctors have no clue about how to do it. Basically, the way that you tell is if you have the paradox that you can't sleep even though you're exhausted, and it's associated with widespread pain, and especially if the brain fog is there too, you've got this disease until proven otherwise. And even if it's being caused secondary to another disease, like rheumatoid arthritis, is a common trigger for fibromyalgia. Many, many illnesses and conditions can trigger it. So basically, if you have that paradox, you can't sleep even though you're exhausted, then you've blown a fuse. They're called chronic fatigue syndrome. And if it also has widespread pain, then you have fibromyalgia. Two names, same disease in most people.
Yeah. Yeah, I was told that I was lazy and that I had just lost 70 pounds. I worked because I found out I was a diabetic. So I decided to lose 70 pounds and I went from 240 to 170. My energy level was still so awful. My memory was so off. I didn't understand why. I couldn't remember something I just read. I couldn't remember like simple things of dates and phone numbers. I mean, just or trying to read a book. I mean, I still to this day cannot focus to read a book, you know, from front to back like I used to, you know, years ago. And I would get really concerned. I'd be driving and I would be at a stop sign and I, you know, stoplight, and I would be honestly did not know where I was and where I was supposed to be going. And it scared me, and I kept telling the doctor this, and they're, you've got mental problems. You've got, you know, and then they send you over to psychiatrist, you know, and it's just, it was so exhausting, you know, and, you know, they say, oh, well, you may have cancer. Oh, well, then you're scared to death you've got cancer. Then you're scared to death you have multiple sclerosis. So, like I said, they did the point, you know, the trigger test, and then finally just said, you got it. Well, I've never had, due to my inability to work these last few years, I haven't had insurance until just recently when I won my disability case for fibro and rheumatoid arthritis and osteoporosis. And I'm now, I literally just started a pill. I've heard of Lyrica, but I've never been on any medicine for it. I've just, you know, I just lived with it and survived with it. So they just started me on Savella. Have you heard any good or bad things on Savella?
I'm not thrilled with Savella. I view Savella as being similar to Elavil, which was one of the earlier medications. And it tends to have a lot of side effects relative to the benefit, but it can help. The trick is to go with the lower dose, not the higher dosing. You know, what you get, you get most of the benefit with the lower dosing. You need to understand, in medicine, the use of a medication is rarely based predominantly on science. It's based more on profitability, and the doctors don't know this. I mean, basically, the doctors would think, oh, you know, Lyrica, Cymbalta, Savella, you know, FDA approved now for fibromyalgia. Well, many of the older medications are every bit as effective, a lot safer, god-awful cheaper. But because they're cheap, because it's generic, you know, you're not going to hear about them. So all three of those medications can be helpful. There's some people that the Lyrica is a godsend, and the Savella and the Cymbalta can all help their pain. And I will assure you, in most cases, the pain is much more toxic than the medication. So you want to take what you need to take to get pain-free. But what people need to understand is that these medications are Band-Aids. Nothing wrong with the Band-Aid, but they don't go after the root cause of the pain. And what our study showed is that when you treat with what we call the SHINE protocol, S-H-I-N-E, S being sleep support, H is hormonal support, even if the tests are normal, I would be infections, N is nutritional support, and E is to exercise as able. If you exercise too much, you're going to crash and burn. So when you treat those things, you restore energy production. Remember, we mentioned this is an energy crisis where you blow a fuse. You restore energy production, you turn the circuit breaker back on, and suddenly your body's working again and the pain goes away. So this is what our research shows. So it's okay to use the medications, but realize that your doctor has heard about these because they're FDA approved, because they're profitable.
And, of course.
And that they're just a tip of the iceberg of what people can do to get well. Most of the other treatments are cheap. Because they're cheap, they're low cost, they cannot go through the FDA approval process. The doctors won't hear about them.
Yeah. And for listeners who want to know more about the SHINE, the S-H-I-N-E, you can definitely go to nfatigue.com, and under the first tab, you can scroll down and click on that and read in depth about that. So my next question is about brain fog. How explain brain fog to those who, you know, may not even know what it is, and then we'll go from there.
Well, if you've ever had the flu and you notice how foggy your brain feels, it'll give people an idea. But main things, people have difficulty with word finding and substitution. They have trouble finding the name of things, so they substitute. They want to say knife and they say fork, or, you know, they want to say their kid's name and they say somebody else's name. It's just, it's word substitution, difficulty with word finding, and also short-term memory gone. So that's why you get to the bottom of a page, you don't remember what's at the top. That occurs from several things. One, the low energy causes the brain cells not to work really well. But also, the brain is changing around blood flow, trying to compensate for the problem. And it shunts blood flow away from the part of the brain responsible for speech. And that's one of the reasons for the difficulty with word finding and word substitution. So for those who have brain fog, they know exactly what it means just by hearing the word.
Yeah,
but for those who don't, it doesn't mean people are stupid. Well, in fact, I find people with this disease tend to be smarter than the average folks. Mm-hmm. But it means that they have difficulty with short-term memory and word finding. I'll add one other third component to brain fog. About 25% to one-third of people with the disease have episodic disorientation. They take an exit off a highway or even turn to a different aisle in the supermarket. And for 20 or 30 seconds, they find that may happen rarely or even every couple of months. They'll feel totally disoriented. They don't know where they are. They can drive just fine. They're not going to run into anybody. But, like, where am I? Where am I going? That's all part of the brain fog. It is not dangerous. And
I guess that's sort of like what I was explaining when I was lost, when I thought I didn't know where to turn, where I was going. I didn't know what I was doing, and that scared me. It's a scary feeling.
It goes away within a minute or two, but it's not dangerous. So just keep steering.
Just keep steering. You'll find your way there.
it'll pass in a minute or so.
Now, for me and for many people, fibro is such a newer disease. And so when did it start? When did it come to be that it had a name? And when did it first start to come around?
It's become fairly recognized now for about 15 years. I mean, the American College of Rheumatology came up with a diagnostic criteria, which they just changed in 2011, again in 2010 before that. But we've really recognized it for about 20 years, and it's had many names. This disease has been going on a long time. Nobel Prize fame had it, Florence Nightingale. Her symptoms are classic for it. President Kennedy, John F. Kennedy, had related processes. But it's only recently that it's been skyrocketing. And if you look at it, there's many illnesses. Each illness go through their life cycle in time. For example, heart attacks. Heart attacks are very rare 200 years ago. But with the change in the American diet, other conditions, we're now seeing it's the number one cause of death. And fibromyalgia is on the upswing because of the energy crisis. I mean, we have the perfect storm for human energy crisis. Half of our calories have been stripped of nutrients, so we have obesity and people who are malnourished for the first time in human history. We have 85,000 chemicals added to the environment. We've lost one-third of our sleep time. It used to be 9 hours a night average, now down to 6 3/4. And life is plain old speeding up. So we're seeing that perfect storm for people to have an energy crisis and blow a fuse. But the good news is that it's not hard to restore energy production. That's what SHINE is about.
Okay. Well, I'm going to kind of flip a little bit and go to for how can people who have it, what can they do to feel better, to get well? You know, there's no quote to cure, I mean, per se. I mean, you've fixed yours, but what can the everyday person do to go forward to feel better?
A good way to begin, on my website at endfatigue.com, we have what's called the Energy Analysis Program. It will analyze people's symptoms. It's basically a quiz you go through, and you check off what you have, and we'll ask questions and just answer them. For those who have had blood testing, it will even analyze pertinent blood tests, although it does not need the blood test. But for those who have them, those can be added in as well. It'll analyze all that and say what areas you need to look at to optimize energy. Mm-hmm. For example, it may tell some people, well, you need a sleep study for sleep apnea. When you're weighing the 240 pounds, you may have found that you were snoring and you stopped breathing at night. And you'll see that in people with high blood pressure who snore, who are overweight, and who fall asleep easily during the day. Other people may say, look for restless leg syndrome, or it may say that you need thyroid support or adrenal support or candida balancing. So it will go through and really give you a thorough protocol that will say, here's what you need to do to optimize energy and be feeling a lot better. Mm-hmm. So that's a really easy place to begin. And we used to charge $400 for people to do that program. But we told people if they couldn't afford, we'd let them do it for free. And 80% of people wrote back saying, I'm on Medicaid, I can't afford, I've been devastated by the illness. So my wife and I decided we just made it free for everybody.
Oh,
so there's
great.
No charge to do that program online. And it's enough. Yeah. It's enough for most people to start getting well. Beyond that, the book, when I would get the fatigue and fibromyalgia solution, start with that. It's much easier. It will make you an expert on what's going on, because once you understand what's going on, it's so much easier to deal with the illness, because you know what the symptoms mean, you know what's causing them, and you know how to make them go away.
Now, one of my problems is the exercise. Going back to Shine, the E is for exercise. I'm pushing myself just to walk around the block every night. But it's tough because for diabetes you got to exercise. But then I pay the price for the fibro and the osteoporosis and rheumatoid arthritis the next day for the pain. So it's like a catch 22. What kind of exercise? Not just with what I'm living with, but what kind of exercises could people do to feel better with your Shine approach?
Well, E stands for exercise as able, because most folks listening out there who have fibro know that if they do too much, they're going to get what's called post-exertional fatigue. They will be they'll feel like they got hit by a truck and be laid out in bed for the next day or two, and that's why as able. So listen to your body. But if you don't exercise at all, you're going to decondition, and that will be guaranteed to make the problem worse. So you start with a walking program, and you walk preferably outside because you need sunshine, and you walk as much as is comfortable. And don't push yourself to the point where you feel bad the next day or you have pain. You may not go all the way around the block. You may go a quarter of the way around the block and turn around and come back. But get a pedometer. They're like $15. You just clip it to your belt. And it will tell you how many steps you're taking each day. And aim to increase that by 25 to 50 steps a day. You figure 2,000 steps is a mile. Until you get to the level where your body is saying, that's as much as I want to be doing. And then you leave it at that level until you've finished about 10 weeks on the Shine protocol. After 10 weeks, most people find their energy production is skyrocketing. And then they can start to increase their walking again by 50 steps a day or a minute a day, however they want to do it. And their body will then be able to condition. Where now it can only condition to a certain point, and then it crashes if you go beyond that. So walking is a great exercise. Too weak to walk. Some folks out there are bedridden or wheelchair-bound. Start with a warm water pool and have somebody help you, whether it's a physical therapist or whatever. Most physical therapists for this disease, 90% of them are clueless. I mean, they just think, oh, that muscle's tight, I'll pull on it, which is a big mistake. But when it comes to things like rehabbing, reconditioning for those that are really ill, they can be helpful for that. So if you're too weak to walk, start in a warm water pool. The buoyancy will help you to be able to condition to where you can then start walking on your own.
Yeah. Now, on the flip side of the physical parts to feel better, what do you recommend mentally? Because a lot of people are, negative, just downright negative. They're just so frustrated. They don't know they're just so down. What could you do mentally to feel better?
Well, they're understandably down. They've been beaten half to death by a bunch of idiots, as I mentioned before, I don't know what's wrong with you, so you're crazy crew. But basically, understand, number one, that for some people, getting well means getting well so that they can go back to what made them sick in the first place. And the answer is no, you're not doing that again. Your body's not going to let you, even if you try. if you go back to what made you sick in the first place, your body's going to shut you down again. So realize, number one, getting better is to get better so you can go back to a life you love, to doing things you really enjoy. Getting better may not mean that you're able to go back to work. It may mean that you're on disability, but able to have a life you love, doing things you enjoy, like you're doing right now, Doug. For other people, it will mean being able to get well enough to go back to work, but it has to mean going back to things that they enjoy, that feel good. Your body will shut them down if they don't. And there's a simple, one of my books that I wrote is an e-book called Three Steps to Happiness. That's funny. I just done a run of about 6,000 or 8,000 copies to my patients back about a dozen years ago. And when I ran through those, I didn't bother redoing it. And I was on Amazon one day looking, and they had it as a used book for like $350 or something. So that's crazy. So I just went ahead and made it as an e-book. And we've just put it back out as an e-book now so people can download it on their Kindle. But it's the Three Steps to Happiness book. We'll teach you, one, to be honest with your feelings. If you're angry, you got to be honest that you're angry. But then there comes a point where you need to let go of it. And that's the trick. It'll tell you how to do that and when to do that. Number two, life needs to be a no-fault system. You got to let go of this blame and fault and guilt and judgment and comparison nonsense, because you're disempowering yourself when you do that. And then step three is to learn to pay attention, to choose to keep your attention on things that feel good. And otherwise, it's like people that go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, you know, while I wasn't working, waiting for my disability, that's why I created the show. I felt that I needed a distraction. I needed something to focus on, because all I was doing was laying around, being in pain, and at the time I had no insurance, so I could get no help. I'm not a single mom, so I couldn't get Medicaid. And, you know, I was very frustrated, so I thought I need to find something. I needed to create something to keep me busy, and that's why I created the show that's now, you know, going on a year and a half now, and it's been very rewarding, because I've helped so many people and entertained a lot of people, and like I said, now I'm changing the platforms to the new platform of where I'm going to help people now give back to the world. So this has kind of been my treatment. Of course, it's not healed, but mentally it has taken me away from thinking about it, and now that I have you know, Medicare and Medi-Cal out here in California, I'm going after the treatment. I just literally got a couple weeks ago. One thing I wanted to recommend and also talk about is a supplement, one of your products. You've got a lot of great products. And one of the products that I was told about a couple years ago was your energy revitalization powder drink. It's Fatigue the Fantastic. It was part of the Fatigue the Fantastic book. Tell us about that and how you came about creating it and what it does for the person who's using it.
Well, people ask me, which vitamin or mineral do I need? And the answer is all of them, you know. And it took 35, 45, 50 pills for people to be getting everything they needed, and it was nuts. I mean, people are really tired of being part of what you call the handful club, you know, taking handfuls of this all day and that all day. So what I put together was an idea for a vitamin powder where you do one drink, and that replaces, for most people, well over 35 pills a day. And you get everything from A to Z, and it's just all in there. And I found a company, and you know, that I really like to make it. And you know, I told them my royalties go to charity. I don't take money from any drug companies or any supplement companies. And I'll carry it on my website, but you can get it in 10,000 health food stores or online all over the place. It's called the Energy Revitalization System. And you basically just add water, take 1/2 to 1 scoop a day, add water, and everything that should be in the food in terms of micronutrients that's in there, with the exception of iron, calcium, we keep low, oils, because oil and water don't mix, and enzymes. Otherwise, everything from A to Z should be getting in the food, besides the calories, is in there. And not just in there, but it's at optimal levels. So that one drink is the foundation. And this is for everybody, not just people with chronic fatigue syndrome, but anybody who wants to optimize. You know, it's just throw away the multivitamins and stuff and just take that one drink a day.
Yeah. Now, I just bought it a couple weeks ago, because I had remembered when I booked you for the show, I remembered the powder drink, and I didn't have the money back in the day. And I went ahead and ordered it. I got it. I bought a case of bottled water, and I went through and filled them all, you know, put a scoop in each one of them, put them in the refrigerator. I've been drinking it now for 2 weeks, and I do feel better, and I'm not saying that just because I do. When I take it, I feel my heart's racing, I have energy. Before I would, I didn't feel this way, and I don't know if it's what it is. It has to be because of all, over 50 vitamins in me. Before I wasn't taking anything, so having these different vitamins and minerals and nutrients in me, I think, is helping me. Especially when I take it early in the morning, and it helps me get through the day. So as a patient per se or customer, I definitely recommend it for people. And you can also get that at different places. And you can go to nfatigue.com to get it. They have it in a berry flavor and a citrus flavor. And you can make smoothies with it. And it's really good. And it's cost effective. If you bought all 50 of those, vitamins separately, it would be outrageous. When I went to my rheumatologist, she wrote me a list of all these vitamins to get, and this is before I knew about your powder. And when I went to Walmart to get all these vitamins, and I rang them up, it was like $400. And I was like, you know what? I can't afford $400 worth of vitamins. That's ridiculous. So I'm very thankful that you created something like this for us to take to feel better, because like you said, it's not just for the people who deal with fibro and chronic fatigue, but we should be putting stuff in our body that's not, like you said, there's so many nutrients taken out of our foods every day that you can use this to get that back. So
yeah, and 50 cents a day sounds a whole lot better than $400, because again,
exactly.
one scoop a day is plenty, and one half scoop a day for most people is fine. A scoop a day is a bit better, and that's like 50 cents to a buck. And
yep.
We have it like probably near half the wholesale and half the retail price online, but you can find it. So, you can find it more expensive than that, but it's not expensive. And my energy drink each morning is I do about 2/3 of a scoop of the vitamin powder, and I do a 5-gram scoop of ribose. It's called Corvalin. Which is a special energy nutrient that's not found in food, as one your body makes. Study we had just had published recently showed that the ribose increased energy in people with CFS and fibro by an average of 61% at 3 weeks. And my energy drink, like say, 2/3 scoop of the vitamin powder, 5-gram scoop of ribose. And if you saw my schedule and make your head spin, it gives me great energy for the day, and it's healthy energy. It's not Lone Shark energy.
Yeah, that's what's good. It's not like taking those not diet pills, but those things you get at the gas station to give you like 5-hour energy drink, that type of thing. I really feel really much better. I've only been taking it for 2 weeks, so once it's in my system for longer, I will continue to take it, because before that, mentally it was a struggle going. Anybody that's going through trying to get this ability is such a depressing struggle, and it takes so much time. And I'd be so exhausted, and I wasn't even physically doing anything. I'd just be so physically exhausted.
It's emotionally exhausting too.
Exactly, and I would sleep 15 hours a day. I would be so tired, and I was like, "Well, why am I sleeping this much?" It could be a little bit of depression too because of the situation, but it's just so exhausting having fibro, and it's so hard too when you have family and friends and stuff, and friends that want to go hiking. Well, I can't go hiking because at this time, because I'm going to be exhausted. That's just way too much. So that's why I'm taking for myself. I'm taking baby steps to get myself up to a higher level.
But even when friends are going hiking, you ask them if they can do a hike that is a round trip where they head in, and that you can just find a place to sit down. Even if you do a quarter mile in or a half a mile, you find a pretty spot. Mm-hmm. And you say, "Well, I'm going to sit here and read my book," and guys pick me up on the way back out.
Because the ride there
is a big part of it, and even that beginning of it. So you'll find that you'd be amazed at how much you can adapt. And as long as they know that, you may not know till the last minute if you're going to be up for doing it that day. But if they have a group, it's one more or less, it's all good.
Yeah.
And then they can understand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's tough when you have, what I call invisible diseases, because, people don't understand. They just don't understand, and and it's tough when I've lost so many jobs because of this, because I would just be too exhausted, and the memory, I would be, you go through training to learn a job, and then you go out on the floor to do what you're supposed to do, and then you just have that brain fog, and it's not that you're not intelligent. It's just I just honestly, my quality of life per se and passion for working deteriorated, and it sucks because I'm 39 years old and I want to be able to be out there and support myself and take care of my child. And I want to be productive.
And Doug, you now, first of all, do you think you're more productive now doing the show or when you were doing that job before? What kind of work are you doing before?
Just office work or retail management. That's what I was doing before, but I feel like I'm doing more productive now than what I'm doing
now. Okay, good. And you have a roof over your head and food on your table now?
Yes.
With a disability? Frankly, I'm happier with my tax money going for that than I would be for going for 90% of the rest of the caca they spend it on. So
yeah.
That's a reasonable thing. And you paid for that with the work you did over the years. That disability is not charity. That disability, you paid for it with your tax dollars as you were doing your work. So I want you to get away from this model of,
yeah,
you know, what we should be, you know, and should do this and should think this. I mean, it's a friend of mine called that shooting on yourself, you know.
Yeah.
And get away from that and start to get a sense of what floats your boat, what makes you excited, what makes you passionate.
Mm-hmm.
And this image you're having of, well, I should do that. Well, maybe no, you
mm-hmm.
shouldn't.
Yeah.
And find what it is that excites you, what feels really good. How would you be following your bliss, you know, following your passion, doing what's authentic to you, to yourself. And then start doing that. You now have money coming in to pay the food and the rent. So now
mm-hmm.
focus on doing what excites you. And I guarantee you that you will do more good on the planet doing what you love than doing something that you hate that you think you should be doing.
Mm-hmm. Very
Even
true.
If you're a monk meditating on a mountain somewhere, you'll be doing more good on the planet.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's kind of why I changed the focus of my show, because I want to give back to the people. I want to give back to the world as much as I can. You know, I'm not an Oprah, but I want to be in that category where I'm helping other people.
Are you giving back because it feels good to do so?
Yes.
Then you're doing the right. Then you're being authentic.
Yes. Exactly.
If you're doing it because you think you should, don't waste your time.
Exactly. Yeah. No. I do this because I feel like you know whether tonight's show gets 2 listeners or 1,000 listeners, if somebody could, you know, get something and have a takeaway from this and go and try to improve their life and work on getting better, then, you know what, no paycheck, no, I don't need anything. That's the reward for doing this. That's why I do what I do.
And even if they just have an understanding of what the disease is, let's take a minute, if you don't mind, and just explain to folks what the disease and what causes it. Because we talk about how to make it go away. But, you know, you're going to know when you have the disease, you're exhausted. We talk about this being an energy crisis where you blow a fuse. Basically,
mm-hmm.
when you're spending more energy than your body's able to make, the area that needs the most energy for its size will go offline first. And that's a control
mm-hmm.
center in the brain called the hypothalamus. That little
mm-hmm.
control center, it's like clicking a circuit breaker, it goes offline to protect you. It does not harm you. It takes you out of the game when
mm-hmm.
continuing to push could cause you harm. It controls sleep, so you can't sleep even though you're exhausted. It controls
mm-hmm.
your entire hormone system, so you can have widespread hormonal deficiencies, including in men and women, low testosterone, which the low testosterone will cause diabetes, hypertension,
mm-hmm.
elevated cholesterol, loss of libido, pain, and a host of other things. So you're going to see hormones will be down, blood pressure will tend to be low. When I see high blood pressure, I'm going to think sleep apnea, like we talked about earlier, and it controls
mm-hmm.
sweating and pulse and gut function. So all of those are in that circuit.
Mm-hmm.
That goes offline. It's like, you know, it's like you plug in too many space heaters and off goes circuit breaker number 7 in the circuit box. So in this
mm-hmm.
case, the hypothalamus goes into hibernation. But why do you get the pain? Well, muscles
yeah.
are like springs. They naturally are
mm-hmm.
stuck in this shortened position. It takes more energy for muscles to relax than to contract. Think if you're
mm-hmm.
writing too much, you get writer's cramp. The muscles don't go loose and limp. They go tight. So when you don't have energy, the muscles get locked in a shortened position. That's why you get all those tender knots in the belly of the muscle that feel like tender marbles where the muscle is bunched up, and they hurt. And after
mm-hmm.
a couple months or years of that, they hurt a lot. And that chronic pain then triggers nerve pain. It's called central sensitization and small fiber neuropathy. So then you get
mm-hmm.
secondary components, muscle pain and nerve pain. And the nice thing is when you give the muscles and you give your body what it needs to heal, the pain often goes away. It's like the oil light saying something needs attention. You put oil in the car, the oil goes off. You give your body shine, the pain goes away.
Okay. That is true. And I was just thinking, so the difference between chronic fatigue syndrome and fibro is that fibro has the pain aspect to it.
The difference is which doctor you walk into. If you walk down the hallway of the medical building and you walk into the rheumatologist's office, you'll have fibromyalgia. And if you walk outside and you go next door to the infectious disease doctor, you'll have chronic fatigue syndrome. And if you go next door to the other doctor who has no clue, you'll be crazy because he has no idea, so you're crazy. You know, it's the same process. I don't care what label you want to stick on it. It's an energy crisis. And there are some people who have the pure chronic fatigue syndrome without the pain. But that's the exception rather than the rule. In those cases, they usually have autonomic dysfunction, blah, 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 blah. But it's a separate, has a different pattern than the others.
Yeah. You had mentioned earlier about the low libido and low testosterone. And because I have diabetes, I've been tested at my testosterone, and it is below average. So that I can see that that's, possibly part of diabetes and fibro as well. So it affects just not one part of your body, but it affects all kinds of parts of your body, and it's very frustrating but also everywhere else.
Yeah, but understand that circuit breaker that goes offline controls your hormone system. So it's understandable that testosterone, thyroid, and adrenal, they're all going to be suboptimal. You won't be in the lowest 2% of the population, which is what's needed for the blood test to be abnormal, you'll be in the lowest 5%. So the doctor will say the test is fine, but it's not.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see here. So when will the book be ready, the brand new one, the one that's coming out in the Fatigue and Fibromyalgia Solution?
August 6, 2013. Going to be out soon.
All right. Perfect. So be sure, everyone out there, to go and you can pre-order it now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, get it for your iPad, take it on the go. I'm very, very excited to get a copy of this and be able to read this. Now, will you be doing a book tour with this at all, do you know?
I don't know. I'm constantly on the lecture circuit and teaching, so we do a lot of writing and media, but just go to Amazon, go to your local bookstore. But Doug, do you want to take two minutes and we can go through each component of the SHINE protocol of sleep, hormones, infection, nutrition, exercise? And let me just give some quick tips for each of those that people can start with today. So number one, sleep. You need your 8 hours a night, and because your sleep center is not working, you can no more sleep 8 hours a night than I can fly to the moon by flapping my hands. So you need to take the things that you need to get your sleep. From a herbal point of view, there are several things. There's a mix of six herbs called the Revitalizing Sleep Formula. It's also at N-Fatigue, most health food stores, easy to find. Melatonin, 0.5 milligram at bedtime. And the smell of lavender. Just get some lavender oil, spray it on your pillow or put a drop under your nose. Actually has been shown to help sleep. In terms of medications for sleep, and for those without prescription insurance, the cost of a medication has nothing at all to do with its effectiveness. The cheap medications are every bit as effective, usually often more. It's funny, a recent study came out looking at new medications over the last 30 years, and only 2% of them were found to be better than the earlier medications. 98% of them are just more expensive, but not any better. So just a quick thought. But Ambien, 5 to 10 milligrams, Trazodone, 25 milligrams, Flexeril, 3 milligrams. I don't expect you to remember this. You do the energy analysis program, it's all going to lay that out for you. But the low doses of several medications combined will help you sleep without being hungover the next day. Hormones, if you're tired, achy, weight gain, and cold intolerant, you deserve a trial of thyroid hormone, regardless of what your blood tests show. If you get irritable when hungry, you get the feed me now or I'll kill you when you're hungry kind of a thing. You need adrenal support. And for most men and women, they need the testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone for the men and women, low dose for the women, will help decrease pain. But again, the hormones need to be bioidentical, not this toxic chemical stuff that they made because it's patentable. Infections, treat candida. You have nasal congestion, sinusitis, gas, bloating, diarrhea, constipation. You've got candida overgrowth. Starve the little buggers by cutting out the sugar. Stevia is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And take a good probiotic that has a stomach coating. Use a medication, Diflucan. It's $40 for the 6-week course by generic now. And mm-hmm. it can make a dramatic difference. Nutritional support we talked about. You want to add some fish oil. If you have dry eyes and mouth, like what's called Vectomega, and I will do the ribose, the vitamin powder. And if your iron is even moderately low, studies show that it helps energy to take the iron to bring it up to the mid-range of normal. And then the exercise is able. Now, you know, that's shine in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
But people find, when you find you're getting your 8 hours sleep a night, you go, oh, my God, I feel so much better. And you make sure there's no sleep apnea and restless leg syndrome. You knock out the candida, and all of a sudden your mind clears. You take some thyroid, and your mind clears. You go, oh, my God, I got my brain back.
Mm-hmm.
So all of this stuff is really treatable. And, again, I treat people. I do phone consultations with people from all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
My new patient visits are 3 hours. But I'm going to be developing what's called the Fatigue and Fibromyalgia Practitioner Network that's launching in August. Our goal is to train over 1,000 healthcare practitioners around the world in treating this disease effectively.
Yeah.
So everybody's got to have a hobby. That's mine. So that's going to be coming soon so people can find somebody near them to get the help they need.
And just to segue away from fibro for a moment, you had mentioned about your ebook that you did about the happiness 1-2-3, I think it was, you said.
Three steps to happiness.
Three steps to happiness. Okay. And you also, I see that you have a supplement on your page called Happiness 1-2-3, the, quote, happy pill. Tell us about that and what can that do for
somebody? It's a mix of herbs and nutrients. It has a St. John's wort. It has a magnolia. It has a 5-HTP. It has B vitamins, magnesium. And these are all things that can help improve serotonin levels and improve happiness.
Mm-hmm.
But the book talks about things in general. Treating depression is more than a pill. And when you have people with depression, they're usually there's a lot of repressed anger, for starters.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to let themselves feel what they're feeling and let the anger out. But meanwhile, realize the people you're angry at are not responsible for your anger.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming from something else. But acknowledge it, but don't beat people up with it. And then low testosterone will cause depression. Low thyroid will cause depression. Adrenal problems will cause depression. Not enough sunshine will cause depression. So it's not a Prozac deficiency. And it's not even a happiness 1-2-3 deficiency. It's a mix of things. And that's why the book really helps guide people through. And for those who can't, you know, don't have the $9 for the book, my website, for the health topics, endfatigue.com, I sell products, and we have a lot of information. But most of the ones on specific conditions like depression and the rest will be on my website, vitality101.com. For those who have iPhones or Androids, there's an app. It's a free app called Cures, A to Z. So it's Cures, capital A-C. We've had over 2 million downloads at this point, and it's free.
Oh, wow.
And you look up anything from A to Z, from acne to zoster. You look up depression. It's going to be quick and simple. Here's what causes it, and then treatments. Here's how to make it go away. You look up diabetes. You look up rheumatoid arthritis. It's all going to be there. So I don't know, Doug, if you have an iPhone or an Android, but you can get the same information at vitality101.com. And there's the hot topics A to Z.
Well, I will definitely download that. I have an iPhone. I'll download that as soon as we're done tonight. So thank you for that. That's awesome. You know, technology now today is just amazing, you know, how you can get the instant information anymore.
Well, here's the thing, Doug. You know, right now, most of the media are controlled by people with a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And every generation has had its way that information gets out to people. And it used to be the king controlled the information or, you know, whatever. And right now, even though, and I don't have anything against, I mean, I'm on Fox News, and I love them, I think they're sweethearts. I'm on CNN, I'm on Good Morning America, and Dr. Oz, and the rest. And these are all good places and good people. But if you believe everything you see on Fox or CNN, I got a bridge to sell you in Brooklyn. Yeah. It's, you know, it's meant to entertain and scare people. It's not really that accurate. But the Internet, and just like we're doing now with the podcasts, it's giving a way for people to get information out that's not basically super profitable. That's not what somebody with a lot of money necessarily wants to hear. Yeah. I have nothing against people with a lot of money. I certainly hope to be one myself, and I do okay too. But it's, you know, if most of it out there is really advertising. Yeah.
Yeah. All righty. Let's see if I have anything else before we take some callers. We got some people that want to say hi to you and ask a question. Let me just double check my notes here. And I think we pretty much covered a lot of stuff, and so we'll see what the caller's got to say. So first up is Ty. Her name is Ty, and she lives in Tennessee, and she has a question for you. Go ahead. You're live with Dr. T.
Hi, Dr. T. How are you?
Hi, Ty. Doing great.
That's good. I made a file of things that I wanted to say. I've heard a lot that this is an umbrella disease, okay, and I think my question was answered when you said it's, you know, fibro and all that stuff. It's rheumatoid arthritis and chronic fatigue syndrome and all that stuff under that. Is that what it is?
Oh, well, Ty, just like there's hundreds of ways to blow a fuse, you know, trip a circuit mm-hmm. breaker, so is tripping a circuit breaker an umbrella problem? Well, it's something that's caused by a lot of different things. And
right.
the same with multiple sclerosis. There's many causes of MS, but that doesn't make it not a real disease, an umbrella. It makes it a syndrome, a common endpoint for many problems. So
yeah.
making the diagnosis of fibromyalgia, that's the beginning of the process. You just realize
right.
I've got an energy crisis. Then the next step is to figure out why.
Right. Okay. Yes, because I heard that it manifests into a lot of other diseases or other diseases, you know, all cling on and then turn into fibro.
But it's a one-way street. It's a one-way street. There's many ways to blow a fuse. So you can put in five blow dryers and blow a fuse, or put in five space
right.
heaters and blow a fuse, or have a lightning and blow a fuse. But blowing the fuse, tripping the circuit breaker, does not suddenly cause five, you know, blow dryers or lightning to happen. So
right.
the fibromyalgia does not cause these other problems.
Mm-hmm. It just,
but these
it
other
just...
problems can cause fibromyalgia.
Okay, I got it. Okay, now I have a question also. I heard this is genetic?
Minimally. You have about, instead of the normal 2% risk of getting it, if you have a first-degree family member, parent, brother, sister, child with it, it's a 4% risk. But
okay.
if you look at people with low thyroid, to put it in perspective, if people have low thyroid, one half of their family members will have low thyroid.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we're one out of 25 family members of people with fibromyalgia will have it. So there's a genetic component, just like with most things, but it's modest.
Right. Okay, because all the females on my maternal side,
mm-hmm.
all have rheumatoid arthritis, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I was just diagnosed with it in February or in March, and, you know, I'm just scared for my, you know, my child.
Don't be. Because understand that rheumatoid arthritis is your body's reacting to something inappropriately. Most often it's an infection that it's overreacting to. And the infection is benign. It's not anything dangerous. It's just the body attacks it and mistakes the joint tissue for that bug. You can think as if a piece on the bug and a piece of your joint tissue look kind of the same to your immune system. So for rheumatoid arthritis, just look at the article at vitality101.com. Go to topics A to Z. Doxycycline, the antibiotic, very, very, very effective. And multiple NIH-sponsored double-blind studies, but they're cheap, so your rheumatologist won't know about it. MSM, glucosamine sulfate, curcumin, boswellia, willow bark. There's a product called Healthy Knees and Joints, or another one called Curamin and Enpain. These are herbal mixes, very, very, very helpful. And studies are shown, and legally, you're not even allowed to say this, it's out. It's, you know, it's against the law to say this, but please don't turn me in. But the studies show that it helps rheumatoid arthritis.
Right.
It's funny,
okay.
You know. There was a vote in Congress last session. A bill was put in saying simply that it should be legal to discuss research on natural therapies.
Really?
Only seven senators voted for that. all of the rest of your present, every single Democrat and most Republicans said it should be illegal to discuss research on natural therapies. Why?
Exactly.
Who do you think pays the money for them to get into office?
So
basically, there's a lot of good research out there. The research shows that doxycycline helps.
Mm-hmm.
Just those cheap antibiotics, like a nickel or 10 cents a day. But what's your doctor offering you? Enbrel, a 20 grand pop?
Exactly.
And the doctor thinks they're doing the right thing because this is what the esteemed professors at the podium are paid to say. And those cheerleaders with God with a rack on them that are being hired as drug reps to stroke your rheumatologist on the head and for good looking guys for the lady doctors. And they know to a penny how much they're prescribing of their medication.
Jeez.
And they're being convinced that, and I'm not against Enbrel, it's a perfectly good medication, but there's so many other things that can be more effective and safer, and certainly a whole lot cheaper. So realize that there's so much you can do to make the rheumatoid arthritis be almost irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
And that, how's that for an empowering thought? And you don't need a rheumatologist to do most of it.
Okay, well, what I'm trying to do right now is I'm trying to get off of the pills. I changed my diet. My daughter,
Which pills?
I'm on Plaquenil.
Okay,
and
Plaquenil's not horrible. It's not super effective, but it's not horrible.
Okay. Well, see, I don't want effective. I just wanted to take care of the damage that's already been done. And then, you know, I that's what I want. I don't want any more damage to happen. My muscle. I used to be a dancer for 14 years, and I had to quit. You know.
Okay, here's the thing again. You know, we talked about the doxycycline, which will help settle it down in most cases. So do a search online.
Doxycycline,
minocycline, rheumatoid arthritis. Or if you do a search on Teitelbaum, Dr. Oz, and rheumatoid arthritis, a blog that I wrote for his website will be on there, and that on doxycycline for rheumatoid arthritis. And the MSM, there's good research, glucosamine sulfate.
Right.
All of these, Boswellia, curcumin, all very effective in settling down the RA. And RA, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And that's why
they
really do push the disease-modifying antiarthritic or anti-rheumatologic drugs, the DMARDs, like Enbrel, because they do want to do prevention. It's a good thing. But there's many, many things you can do to where it gets to the point that, oh, Plaquenil, you know, we don't have to make your eyes go wacky with a Plaquenil. We don't need that.
Right. Well, what I heard before, when I was listening before, that you had all this fibromyalgia, and
I have fibro, yeah.
Yes, and now you took supplements and everything and exercise, and it just calmed down, and it just
I did shine, and it went away.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I can't blow the fuse again, yeah, but I don't do things I hate. I do things I love.
I just think that's a great thing. Yeah. I'm also on Cymbalta also. But,
and Cymbalta is okay. It is a bit difficult sometimes to wean off of it.
That's
so
what I'm doing right
now. So
when it
comes time to wean off of it, do it really slowly. Take your time.
Yes. Well, yeah. I'm having the dizzy spells and the oh no, you know your body doesn't have the levels that it needs, and that's what I'm going through right now. But
do not break the pills. That is dangerous to break. But you can have a compounding pharmacist make it in lower doses.
Or when you
get down to the 20, you can ask a doctor if you can just switch to every other day instead of going cold turkey from 20 to zero.
Right. Well, what I'm at the end of the month, they're testing me for narcolepsy.
Mm-hmm.
And I already was tested for sleep apnea, and I do not have that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm getting tested for in a daytime sleep for narcolepsy, and they said that it is also autoimmune disease.
It can be viewed that way. There's a lot of stuff going on, but if people tend to fall asleep easily during the day, I'm going to look for narcolepsy and sleep apnea. But let me throw some different things at you with that. If the MSLT test they'll do is positive, they may consider medication for like go provisional and stuff, but there's a medication that's basically speed. It's Ritalin, Dexedrine.
Yes.
It's the same thing they use for hyperactive kids.
Yes, Adderall.
And you know,
Adderall.
And you can tell that I like natural things better, but I'm going to say right off the bat that these medications are overused in hyperactive kids and underused in people with fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome.
Right.
Because
yes.
The Adderall, Dexedrine, Ritalin help, I'm going to speak in tongue here, it helps stabilize autonomic function.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps, it's not just a matter of, you know, I tell you avoid sugar and excess caffeine because that's an energy loan shark, but take speed, you know, but that's basically, in this situation, it's reasonable. But in low
yes.
dose, you do not want to go over 20 milligrams a day. You start to see addictive issues. Most adults need 5 to 12 and a half milligrams.
Well,
so
they're
going to
start
again,
me on 5. I'm sorry. They're going to start me on 5 milligrams. So
of Dexedrine, that's reasonable. Yeah.
Of Adderall, yes. So
yeah, same thing. They're like three cousins and like three pairs of shoes, and they're all shoes. But you try on one, you try the other, you see which feels the best to you. Everybody's different, but they're pretty
right.
much the same thing. So you see which one feels the best. Don't go over 20 milligrams a day.
Right. Okay. Yes. My primary care physicians, I've been fighting to go see a rheumatologist for the last 3 years.
For your rheumatoid arthritis or for
yes,
your fibro?
Yes.
Okay.
Both.
Most of them will not have a clue how to treat fibromyalgia properly, but they
yes.
will know how to treat RA, at least for the stuff they're taught about.
Well, she also told me, she said that I look perfectly healthy and that it's all in my mind and I'm a hypochondriac and everything. So I was having to deal with that and I thought I was alone. And then
mm-hmm.
I started listening to everybody else and
mm-hmm.
they were saying the same thing.
Yep. And remember what I said earlier in the show, Ty? If the doctor
mm-hmm.
says, I don't know what's wrong with you, freaks, you're crazy, tell them thank you for letting you know up front that they're clueless about how to help you get better and go see somebody else.
Exactly, exactly. And that's exactly what I did. That's exactly what I did.
Yep.
And so, because when we were talking about it, I was giggling because I was like, oh, that was my old scenario.
Been there, done that, have you? Yes, you know.
Yeah. But thank you very, very much for answering my questions, you know, and letting me know, you know, I mean, I still
You're
get
not
the...
Alone.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not alone. I get the, you know, fridge, the attacking of the fridge, you know, whenever
yeah.
I get a lot of pain. And that's surprising because I was afraid that, oh, my gosh, is it just me? Is it just because I like to eat?
Ty, there's one of my books is called Beat Sugar Addiction Now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's four main kinds of sugar craving. Get the book. You can get it in most bookstores. And it will teach you how to figure out what's driving the sugar craving. When you give your body what it needs, you won't crave. You won't be attacking your fridge anymore. You'll be going because you want something because it tastes good, not because you're going to kill the person next to you if you don't have something or because you
exactly.
get the cravings.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, thank you guys so much for calling in, and I hope you got a lot of information tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much, Douglas.
All right. Thanks
you
a
so
lot,
much, Dr. T.
You're welcome.
Thank
Ty.
You. You can keep listening.
Okay.
All right. Area code 217, go ahead. You're on with Dr. T. Hello, area code 217.
Easy come, easy go. No.
Are you there, 217?
Hi. This
there
is Renee. I'm an area
Renee.
I'm from 217, so...
Go ahead, you're on with Dr. T.
Hi, Dr. T. I am so excited to talk to you. I was so excited when I noticed that you were going to be on Doug's show. I have listened to you, and you are a... My goodness, you know this upwards and downwards. I have just about everything, so... I cannot wait to get every single book that you have written. So I'm going to run to Amazon after this is finished and order them. I have fibromyalgia. I have lupus. I have systemic. Oh my gosh, I can't even think. Nerve. What do you call it? Peripheral nerve. Yeah, neuropathy. Thank you. I have a little bit of everything. The doctors, I think, just throw at me because they don't know what else to do. I have hemolytic anemia. I have, my mom has rheumatoid arthritis. I have, goodness, I just am thrown every drug in the world. And my rheumatologist had just put me on, he had me on Plaquenil, which just did absolutely nothing. And I'd been a nurse for 25 years and became disabled as well, so I understand Doug and how he felt and what a difference it does, you know, it does to your life and how you feel. And I'm just amazed at you, how being in medical school and then, you know, it's amazing how all of a sudden you're in medical school and then you're on a park bench. That just amazes me. And now
God has a sense of humor. Universe likes to entertain itself.
Yeah, and here now you are, you know. Mm-hmm. And nobody seems to, well, I think what's so bad with fibromyalgia, if I get this right, to me, it's so subjective and it's not objective, as far as you can't go into a CAT scan and say, oh, you've got fibromyalgia, to where you can go into a CAT scan and say you've got a broken femur.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And
but to understand, the same used to be said for heart attacks until they had EKGs. You know, heart attacks are pretty rare, and people get pain going down their chest and down the left arm, break into a sweat, get dizzy and fall to the ground, you know. And
right.
No, but we didn't have any tests for it, and they were maybe dead, but they couldn't be because there were no tests. I mean, yeah.
Right, that's true. And when I worked in mental health, another thing was when people come in and said they hear voices, that was another subjective thing. Well, I couldn't tell whether they were or whether they weren't. That was all subjective. You know, I couldn't prove where they were or where they weren't. You know, that was just them. And when I worked at detox, crisis, a lot of them, when they were to be going off SSI in 1994 for drug and alcohol, a lot of them then, they get down in the room, they decided they would all become, they would all hear voices. So I had a line of people, they didn't even wait, I had a line of people at the door at the nurse's station, they all became the hearing voices. So it got to the point, we all got to laughing, they all came in, I said, I bet you're hearing voices. And we all just, it got to the point, it got funny. And I go, finally, you know, I said, you know what? I'm starting to hear damn voices, and it's not very funny because I had to write all these, you know, all this stuff up, you know. And it got to be a joke between all, you know, and I started laughing, you know. And anyway, people, yeah, I feel like this. And I've been listed also as having bipolar, which I don't really think I do. And bipolar is another thing as being hard to diagnose.
I think bipolar, the term is overused. I think the diagnosis of bipolar is overused. I think that there's so much alteration in the chemistry of people's brains associated with excess sugar in the diet, chemicals in the diet, hormonal things. And instead of taking the time to see what's moving the biochemistry, it's more convenient to just throw a label and a drug at somebody. You can do that on the 5-minute visit. So
you know,
I don't put a lot of stock in the term bipolar in most cases, in many cases anyway.
And, you know, the one couple times I went into the hospital, I have something called Arnold Chiari malformation. It's a neurological.
Possibly. You know, because
have you ever heard of that?
Yeah. No, I'm very familiar with CMI, Chiari malformation and cervical stenosis. But you have to understand, too, it depends on the angle that they have your neck when they're doing it, and also the criteria that's being used. There are some very good people who are researching Chiari malformation in fibromyalgia.
Yes.
But basically, Michael Rosner is excellent, one of my favorite, but he sees it in everybody. Basically, you know, the criteria he uses, I don't say everybody, but the criteria he uses, I think, over diagnosis were the criteria that most hospitals will use, and most radiologists would not notice it if it's hit them with a stick over the head, so they underdiagnose it. So you really want to be careful with the diagnosis and understand who's making it, what criteria they're using.
You're talking about bipolar or...
No, I'm talking about Chiari malformation.
Oh, okay, right. It's that, you know, they'll never know you have Chiari unless you have an MRI.
And
that's
with an
the only
MRI,
way
they still won't know. Because
right.
It really depends on how they set up, how they position you. If they do it with you sitting up as opposed to lying down, they will diagnose it four times as often. And so I'm going to invite you to take the Chiari malformation diagnosis with a grain of salt, depending on who made the diagnosis and how they made it.
So you can have that diagnosed sitting up?
Yeah, there's some places that will do the MRI sitting up, so they can see if the Chiari malformation is where the hole entering into the...
Pouring the magnum.
Into the skull isn't sized quite right, and part of
right.
the brain will squeeze out through that hole.
Exactly.
And so it's basically herniation through the foramen magnum, and that gets
right.
altered. If you're sitting up, gravity pushes it down more, or if you're
right.
lying down, you won't see it as much. But again, and then the angle, whether they have your neck extended or not, there's so many things involved. So it's
you are on your money, because you don't have any doctors I've had to explain what a Chiari malformation is.
But that's
you
okay.
are on the top of your game on everything, because
I've had to explain that. Right, but this is what I do. I do fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome and chronic pain. I don't do heart bypass, for example. So if you came
right.
to me and
you're,
said,
you're,
well,
it's
which
pain.
Sensor should I use for this? I go, I have no freaking clue, because I don't do that. And most of the people
right.
you see,
you just,
they don't do Chiari. So don't blame them for not knowing.
Right. My general practitioner said some general practitioners could go through their entire practice, and never see Chiari malformation.
Most of them will never notice it, even if they do see it.
Exactly, and I know they said there's six actual quote, actual specialists in the United States that are specialists. I know I would love to go to the Chiari Institute in New York City.
I recommend that be a last resort.
Because
what they're talking about is cutting open a big part of the base
there
of the skull.
There you go.
And
there
most people, recover using the Shine approach without having to get near a scalpel. So
there
I would not be
go.
Anxious to
there
go there.
There you go. And I've been on their chat room before, their literal chat room ASAP, and those people have had to have numerous surgeries over and over and over yeah. and over.
So Renee, let me just take a minute, and I want
to
wrap up with a couple
get
of things
to,
that you talked
right,
about.
Get back to.
So,
well, let me
one,
tell you. Okay.
Well, you talked about, mentioned the lupus, and you should be aware that there's several studies that show that DHEA, it's an over-the-counter hormone, 200 milligrams a day, improves the outcome in lupus. Now, that's a very high dose, and you want to be practicing with a holistic practitioner because you can't see darkening of facial hair or acne. And if that happens, I lower the dose. But those studies actually have been repeated several times now, and they have a favorable outcome. You want to distinguish what symptoms are lupus versus fibromyalgia. Because you may find that the fibromyalgia is well, the lupus is well under control with the medications they're giving, but you have a lot of symptoms from the fibro. And then if they keep giving lupus medications that do nothing for fibro,
you know what?
They will make you toxic, toxic, toxic. So I want to take a moment and just help, and the same with RA, for help people to distinguish what's coming from the fibro and what's coming from the lupus and the rheumatoid arthritis. So let
okay.
me just, because I think that's important for people. Number one, if you have widespread muscle tenderness, widespread pain, not just around your joints, but even along the muscles.
I have muscle pain. I have muscle atrophy, something fierce. Yes.
And that's mostly going to be fibro pain. The fatigue, that's more often coming from the fibro. If you
have
red, hot, swollen joints, that's mostly going to be the lupus or the rheumatoid arthritis.
Right.
So if you have inflammation for the kidney and organs, that's more likely going to be the lupus or the RA. So
they told me I have an inflammatory process.
Well, that's what lupus is. It's a process that triggers autoimmune inflammation. So So that doesn't say anything. Now, there's natural things you can do to bring down inflammation. Curcumin, Boswellia, I like a product called Curamin. There's another one called N-Pain, which is willow bark and sherry and Boswellia. Excellent anti-inflammatories. Fish decreases inflammation. But I just want to take a moment because we're getting there past the top of the hour, so I just want to wrap a couple things up. Nerve pain. Lipoic acid, acetyl-carnitine, B vitamins, and coenzyme Q10 all help. It takes three to nine months, but it will help settle down the nerve pain. Again, this is all on the website. All right, go to vitality101.com or get the Cures A to Z app, look up neuropathy.
Will this all be, sir, everything be on your website? And
both
I know this will all be on your blog. Everything you've talked tonight, I can get on there to hear it again. But will this be all on this website?
Most of the Vitality 101 has the information on specific health topics. The End Fatigue has products. We keep the information and products on separate sites. My book, Cures A to Z, or the iPhone app, or you go to Vitality 101 and click on Health A to Z. You look up neuropathy, it's all going to be there.
Okay, so I can just go through this website. I can go through this, what you're telling me now. I can go back to the archive and listen to this and go slowly and write this down.
Yes, and the thing is that the website will give you the link.
Oh, okay, sir.
Yeah.
Okay, Doug. Okay, thank you.
Yep. You're welcome. Thanks so much for calling in.
Okay.
All right. Thanks so much. All right. Well, Dr. T, thank you so much for being with us tonight. This was really I learned a lot for myself. I'm actually going to go and re-listen to it again and write some stuff down, to help me further my path to success and wellness. And I would love to have you back in the fall to help promote your new book and talk about that if you're available at that time.
Well, always a pleasure, Doug. We can pick another topic, too. I want to mention one other thing for the osteoporosis, because you had mentioned that. The mineral strontium, S-T-R-O-N-T-I-U-M, not to be confused with the radioactive strontium from atom bombs, but the mineral strontium is 170%. It's almost twice as effective as the medication Fosamax. S-T-R-O-N-T-I-U-M.
Okay, and that's for osteoporosis.
Yep, and again, the 340 to 680 milligrams. If you're osteoporotic, I would do the 680 milligrams. Take that at bedtime. Take the vitamin powder in the morning. And you'll see over time your bone density will increase.
Well, that is fantastic. Every little bit helps because, you know, we only get one chance in this world, and I want to try to live the rest of my life as healthy as possible because I've suffered enough, and now it's time to live.
Yep, and it seems like you're moving very well in that direction.
So, once again, everybody, be sure to go to nfatigue.com and also go to vitality101.com for anything that we talked about tonight. And we'll look forward to having you back in the future.
Well, thanks. And well, everybody. Doug, any last questions or things you'd like to go over before we call it a day?
No, I think I'm good. When we have you back, we'll have a whole new bunch of stuff to talk about. So I appreciate your time. I know you're very busy, and I hope everybody that listens enjoyed it. So everybody out there, I really recommend the powder drink that I was telling you about. So be sure to go and follow the Shine. So the SHINE, and also get that energy revitalization powder drink. It really has made me feel a lot better. So if it can help me, and it hopefully can help you too. So pick that up. So thanks again, Dr. T, and we will talk very soon, okay?
You're welcome. Have a good one.
All right. You too. Bye-bye. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to tonight's show. I hope everybody learned a lot. I hope you utilize all of the information that we heard tonight. We got a lot. So be sure to go to those two websites. Tomorrow, I'll be back at 6 p.m. Pacific with Tori Hartman. She offers a line of spiritual accessories designed to manifest miracles of transformation in everyday lives of her customers. Her concept is pretty simple. Provide tangible products and rituals that serve as doorways to the enhancements of the powers of the universe. The objective is to make personal abundance attainable to every person who strives for it. You can go to ToriHartman.com and check out everything that she's about, and we will be back tomorrow with her at 6 p.m. Pacific, and be sure to call in with any questions for her as well. Be sure to go to OnIverDouglas.com so you can see all the latest upcoming guests. We have a lot of great people coming up. And once again, thank you so much for listening tonight. Good night, everybody.
For a full archive of past shows and the upcoming schedule, check out onairwithdouglas.com. If you need help getting promotion out to our thousands of listeners, contact us at onairwithdouglas@gmail.com for more information. And be sure to check out our new weekly topical show, Sunday Nights. Until next time, thanks for listening to our show.